are prepared to assist the affected workers by these tariffs that the Trump administration has chosen to impose upon Canada.
And let's turn it over now to Brian Patterson, the Conservative Party candidate, who will also chat about why he will best serve Kingston and the islands as a border region in the face of new policies under the Trump administration in the United States.
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple of key pieces there. And I think that these are things that have already been doing as mayor. So number one, making sure I'm talking regularly to our manufacturers, our businesses, trying to understand what the impacts are that they are already feeling or are concerned about what might be coming. So making sure that, you know, the more information I have from them, that I think helps to tailor different responses to understand how we can best support them. Obviously, encouraging community to buy Canadian, to support local as best we can right now. And then the other key piece, and I think this is critical, is that the majority of Americans do not support the approaches and the policies of the Trump administration. There are key alliances that we can build, strategic alliances. And so that's why I've been clear. Our fight was with the Trump administration, but we have many, many friends and allies, the vast majority, quite frankly, south of the border. And so I think there's ways that we can team up, that we can ally with them, because ultimately it's political pressure within the U.S. that I think is ultimately going to turn the tide here.
And thank you so much to each of the candidates for chatting about how they, as MP, would best serve Kingston and the islands as a border region. Now, moving on into our next segment, we understand many constituents in the community are concerned about Canada's involvement in overseas conflicts, including those in Ukraine and Gaza. We'll turn it over now to Fintan Hartnett for the Green Party to discuss his party's position on the conflicts in Ukraine and Gaza and Canada's approach to them.
Absolutely. So I'll begin with Ukraine. We need to continue supporting their fight while pushing for diplomatic solutions that de-escalate the conflict. Canada's role should be to support peace efforts that lead to Ukraine maintaining its borders and security. However, if we need peacekeepers, then we should do what Canada has always done and step up. As for Gaza, what an undeniable humanitarian crisis, and Canada, if it can, must do more. So the Green Party is calling for an immediate ceasefire, unrestricted humanitarian aid, and a focus on securing a just peace that respects the lives of both Israelis and Palestinians. And absolutely, we should not follow the U.S. blindly on this subject matter. Our foreign policy should be rooted in sound diplomacy, human rights, and our shared commitment to global peace. So on those two major issues, I would say that's where the Green Party stands, and I back that 100%.
And now let's hear from the Liberal candidate Mark Garrettson on his party's position related to the conflicts in Ukraine and Gaza and Canada's approach to them.
The government's position has always been, as it relates to the conflict in the Middle East, that a two-state solution is the only solution that will provide long-lasting peace. And that is a solution that we fully support. And of course, we condemn violence on all sides and have been calling for immediate ceasefires to prevent further loss of life. We certainly recognize Israel's right to defend itself while urging restraint. We want to see a solution where peace can be achieved in the long term. As it relates to Ukraine, this government has been unwavering in its support for Ukraine. It was an illegal invasion by Vladimir Putin into Ukraine. We have provided military and humanitarian aid, despite the fact that the United States seems to be changing its position on Ukraine. Canada, in my opinion, should never do that. I'm very proud to have voted in favor at every opportunity to provide funding and aid to Ukraine. Unfortunately, the same cannot be said for my conservative colleagues, but it is extremely important. We have to remember that Ukraine is on the front lines of defending democracy. Vladimir Putin's objectives do not end at Ukraine. He will try to further attack and take over more territory if he wins in Ukraine. Therefore, it is extremely important that that the outcome of this is one that sees Ukraine as the winner and democracy as a winner. Otherwise, the fight continues on to another front line. So it's important for people to recognize, in my opinion, that Ukraine just happens to be on the front line right now. And whatever we can do to help them in that fight for democratic values, we should be doing.
And we'll turn it over now to Conservative Party candidate Brian Patterson on his party's position on the conflicts in Ukraine and Gaza and Canada's approach to them.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think just, to be clear, you know, very much pro-Ukraine. We need to continue to stand with and support Ukraine, as mayor. It's the one that raised the Ukraine flag above City Hall. Next to it, there's a Canadian flag on one side, Ukrainian flag on the other. And so those two flags continue to fly, I think, just demonstrating our continued support. And certainly the Conservatives are there. On the Israel-Gaza conflict, I mean, obviously, we want to make sure that we can come to a peaceful resolution conflict, but also understand that, we need willing partners. And we need to be able to work together to come up with a negotiated settlement. So obviously that work will continue, and certainly the Conservative plan is to support that.
And now over to Daria Judy Hope for the NDP, who will discuss her party's position on the conflicts in Ukraine and Gaza and Canada's approach to them.
I will start by Gaza. The genocide, the ongoing genocide in Gaza. The NDP has led parliamentary work in fighting for a just peace in the region. In the face of Trump and Netanyahu's threat. And we are fighting for Canada to impose a two-way arms embargo on Israel, to end Canadian involvement in illegal Israeli settlements, address anti-Palestinian racism, and protect freedom of expression for Palestinian. We also recognize the state of Palestine, and we are also fighting for Canada to protect and fund Gaza relief efforts, including UNRWA. So New Democrats really support sanctions on Netanyahu and his cabinet ministers who have enabled this genocide in Gaza. We also support all ICC and ICJ investigations into war crimes, and genocide, and would uphold ICC warrant. Myself, but also New Democrats, I want the safe return of all hostages because international law should be applied equally and without bias against all those who commit war crime. And as for Ukraine, Trump is clearly a Russian asset. And we must do better to stand with Ukraine in this moment. 3 years after, the full-scale invasion of Ukraine by Russia in, 2022, the liberals have done nothing to seize millions of pro-Putin oligarch that could have, that could be used to help Ukraine. And the liberals talk about a big game on Russian sanctions, and but have failed to stop Russian titanium from being used to build Canadian planes. And so, to achieve a lasting peace, we will continue to provide substantial military and humanitarian support to Ukraine, and to ensure that no Russian goods are being used to make Canadian products. We'll strengthen and enforce sanctions on Putin's oligarchs. New Democrats will get tougher on Russian foreign interference because that, they are interfering in Canada. And New Democrats support Ukraine joining the EU. Yeah, so, definitely stand with Ukraine and stand with Palestinian. The arm calls to these nations are just, quite appalling. And why are we repeating history,
And thank you to each candidate for discussing their party's positions on the conflicts in Ukraine and Gaza and Canada's approach to these crises. Moving on, constituents in Kingston and the Islands know that Queen's University plays a major role in our community and that recently we've seen dramatic cuts to post-secondary and research funding in the United States. We'll turn it over now to Mark Gerritsen to discuss his party's position for both post-secondary education and prioritizing research funding in Canada.
Look, the Liberal Party has always prided itself on being a data-driven, research-intensive party and operating a government from that position. We believe that we should not be making policy based strictly on ideology, but rather we should be doing it based on research. And we depend a lot on post-secondary institutions, and in particular, universities like Queen's University, to continue to do that research that we can rely on when it comes to developing policy. So the Liberal Party continues to have a strong commitment to post-secondary education and research to ensure that institutions remain globally competitive and drive advancements in key industries. When it comes to financial aid, we plan to expand financial aid, health services and mental health services, career advancement programs, and to improve the access and supports for students. I have, you know, in concluding on that point, I would say that, you know, Queen's University plays a very important role in our country in terms of helping to develop and put forward policy. And a lot of it comes forward based on that research. That's why I've always been very proud to be able to work with the university whenever they've called upon me to try to get them funds for whether it's infrastructure projects to create the space for the research to occur, or whether it's actually funding the research that the incredible people around Queen's University do. And I plan, if I'm reelected, to continue to advocate as best I can in that regard.
And now let's hear from Conservative candidate Brian Patterson on his party's position for post-secondary education and the prioritization of research funding in Canada.
Well, obviously, I'm a big fan of research and the work that universities do, having been part of university life pretty much my entire career, both at Queen's and now at Royal Military College as well. I mean, obviously, we want to support where we can. Again, obviously, there's a provincial jurisdiction that that Queen's University would fall under in terms of funding. But again, I think I come back to my earlier point that I think at a federal level, being able to fix the budget and make sure we're not spending billions of dollars on interest payments that we're on money we've already borrowed. Again, I think that there's opportunity there to be able to make sure we're strengthening our economy. We're strengthening as we do that. That in turn is going to help provide more funding and more opportunities so that we can support the great work that happens at Queen's and other post-secondary institutions.
And now we'll hear from NDP candidate Daria Judy Hope on her party's position for both post-secondary education and prioritizing research funding in Canada.
I want to start by saying that I fully support PSAC 901 in their efforts at collective bargaining, as I supported others fighting for what they deserve. It is a shame that the university hasn't made any reasonable effort and offers to our TAs and researchers. Students produce real labor that benefits the university and important for our students. I am saying our students because I am a faculty, but I am a learner. And these workers, TAs and researchers, should be paid appropriately. Liberals and conservatives both intend to continue the trend toward privatized American-style education. Meanwhile, New Democrats are fighting back. So in time of great threat from the U.S., we must stand firm in the defense of our public institutions and stop the American-style slide toward privatization of public institutions, healthcare, education, everything. Not good for us. And over the long term, this means working with the provinces and territories to cap and reduce tuition fees and building toward making possible for secondary education part of our public education system. So, you know, folks, kids, students can go from kindergarten to a career without the barrier of cost. Oftentimes people will ask me, they will share a story about, you know, when I was young, I was able to go to high school and learn how to do this job. And ideally, I had the job, mentorship, and then the job, and I was set for life. Why don't we have the same now? What does it cost so much? What can you do? And this is what I can do alongside the New Democrats. This is an important goal, and we believe that with the right leadership and political will, we can get there. Oftentimes, you have leaders pointing fingers at each other. There is very no accountability. And no will. Where there is a will, there is a way, does this say in English? So there are steps we can take to make education more affordable right now. Five provinces have already shown leadership in eliminating interest rates on student loan, and it is time for the federal government to do the same and stop profiting from student debt. New Democrats will remove the interest from federal student loan and also will help lift the debt burden from young people starting out. We will introduce a targeted debt forgiveness program for graduates that will forgive up to 20,000 in student $20,000 in student debt. And in the first year alone, this will wipe out 20% of all student debt and help 350,000 borrowers save money every month. So this is huge. And we will also move away from loans and permanently double non-repayable Canada student grants. So accessing financial support for anyone's for you know for your speaking to listeners, for your post-secondary education shouldn't be a debt sentence. We'll make sure that young people can start out in life without crushing debt burden. So I'm with the learners. I am with the workers, staff, faculty at Queen's and SLC as well, and the RMC too.
And let's turn it over now to Fintan Hartnett of the Green Party to hear his party's position for both post-secondary education and prioritizing research funding in Canada.
Great question, considering how important post-secondary education is to Kingston and the Islands. I want to point to something Elizabeth May just said the other day. Education is a right, not a privilege. I think the Greens would absolutely push for absolutely free post-secondary education. If we want to compete with the rest of the world, we have to give our young Canadians a chance to thrive. And the only way to do that is with a good education. And that's why we need to fund them. But while we see universities find money to pay their top executives, which is, you know, in my lifetime, we've got MBAs running universities more so than university administrators. The tuition burden on students keeps rising. So you've got the pay on one end going up and being paid for by students, and the teaching staff who actually make the system run are struggling to make ends meet. So somewhere in there has to be a balance. And one of the ways to do that is to make sure we fund students and we have a good look at how these administrations are run. So the Green Party will fight to make post-secondary education free. Will eliminate student loan interest on anybody who currently carries a loan and ensuring that universities direct their resources where they're needed most. So supporting students and teachers or students and educators seems to be the best bet. I get that, you know, we need to watch costs. The Liberals and Conservatives are obsessed with cutting budgets and making education a profit-driven venture. We've got to stop that. So cuts to research funding and education leave students with mountains of debt and fewer opportunities to succeed. So we know education is an investment, not a cost, or it shouldn't be a cost. Smart investment education creates long-term prosperity, and instead of slashing funds, we'll expand research budgets to ensure Canadian universities are leaders in innovation, right here in Kingston and across the world, and or across the country as well. And I would say we have this tremendous opportunity at the moment with all the budget cutting and the underfunding in the United States to reach out to some of their best and brightest and bring them into our universities, which can only improve things for our students and all Canadians. If the government stopped paying out to the elites, we would have more money in Canadians' pockets and be able to properly fund our education system. Making sure every student has access to affordable, high-quality education.
And thank you to each of our candidates for chatting about post-secondary education and research funding in Canada and their party's positions on these. Now we'll hear from each candidate with messages about getting out to vote and how you can learn more about each of their campaigns. Let's turn it over now to Conservative candidate Brian Patterson.
Yeah, no, I think my key message is that this is a critical moment for our country. It's a critical moment for our community. And so I think the most important part is to be engaged, to learn about the issues, to reach out to the candidates. I've been talking to hundreds of residents in Kingston and the Islands every single day, having great conversations with them. But ultimately, what we want is for everyone to engage, to vote, to make their voice heard. This is going to be a really important election.
Conservative candidate Brian Patterson also shared how you can keep up with the latest on his campaign.
People can absolutely check me out at my website, Brian4Kingston.ca. Feel free to drop by our campaign office at 299 Concession Street, just on the ground floor as well. And so I look forward to connecting with you on the street. I mean, I'm all over the community each and every day. And so certainly, our goal here is to create a giant blue tent that everyone could find a place in so we can build our community and our country together. When it comes to social media, definitely you can follow me on my account. So B Patterson YGK, you'll find me on X, on Facebook, and on Instagram as well. We're posting videos, we're posting news and announcements from the Conservative Plan as well. So feel free, people can reach out to me that way as well.
And now we'll hear from NDP candidate Daria Judy Hope on getting out to vote and how you can stay up with the latest on her campaign.
Let's get ready. April 28th will be here soon. I am open. The campaign office is in the Fronting Mall. We are open. Please call us, email us if you have any questions. If you like to join the movement, I invite everyone to join the movement. It's definitely an exciting time, and I feel that from folks when we're door knocking, people are ready for change and excited to have new leadership for Kingston and the Islands. I am, open to listen, and I'm up for the challenge, and I'm up to work hard every day to E-Day and after E-Day. We always say, once a nurse, always a nurse. I care for my patients. I always care for my community, and we continue to do so. And similar to always a nurse, always a community advocate. So please, no matter what your political affiliation is, reach out. I'm here to listen.
And now Daria will also share how you can keep up with the latest on her campaign.
The campaign office is in the Frontenac Mall between Mandarin and, the Hawk Shop, Food Basics? We're right there. It's bright orange in the Frontenac Mall off of Bath Road. I am on Twitter. I am on Instagram, Facebook, Thread, soon on TikTok. And, quite visible in the city. I am also door knocking. So if you see me out and about in the community events, but at your door, please come over and chat. My website is Daria, just like in my name, ndp.ca. That is Daria, ndp.ca. All events, canvassing, opportunity to involve yourself are posted on the website, including my whereabouts as we get busier. So will everything be updated on the website?
And now let's hear from Green Party candidate Fintan Hartnett on his thoughts on getting out to vote and also learn more about how to stay up to date with his campaign.
Regardless of who you're going to vote for in this election, if you haven't realized, and I suspect everyone in Kingston does, it's pretty important. You're going to hear a lot of messaging from the two big parties. I think it's great to keep the smaller parties in Parliament. That way we don't become a two-party democracy like our friends to the south. So please, if you can, and you're interested in what Greens stand for, give us your vote. Thank you.
And let's hear more about how to stay up to date with Fintan Hartnett's campaign.
If you go to www.fintanhartnett, that's F-I-N-T-A-N-H-A-R-T-N-E-T-T.ca, you'll go to my webpage, and that'll have a lot of information what's going on in the election and give you any information you need. Or you can go to the Green Party of Canada website if you want to look at explore our policies, Green Party policies, which I recommend everybody does. It's how I ended up becoming a Green. And we're on social media. If you go through those two sites, you'll be able to find us on social media by clicking one of the icons. However, we are not on X. And I really hope Canadians aren't supporting Elon Musk and X.
And finally, we will turn it over to the Liberal candidate, Mark Gerritsen, to learn more about his thoughts on getting out to vote and learn more about how to stay up to date with his campaign.
Yeah, this is the most important election. And I've been hearing that from people across the riding. And I think that that's resonating with people. Voting is critical, and voting is important, and everybody has to understand that. Although they might think, hey, it's just my vote, it's just one vote, it doesn't matter. The collective needs to occur by everybody putting their vote into a ballot box. And when we do that collectively, we make a strong statement. So regardless of what political party people are deciding to vote for in this election, I would encourage them to get out and vote. You know, people literally fought and died for this right to for us to vote. And all that we have to do in return, and our way of saying thank you to those men and women who put their lives on the line for democracy, is once every 3 or 4 years, we go out and we put a ballot in a box. And I would encourage everybody to do that. It's how democracies stay healthy.
And now let's learn from Mark how to keep up with the latest on his campaign trail.
Well, our office is open at 835 Princess Street, which is almost right next door to my constituency office. We're open from 10 a.m. till 7 p.m. Every day of the week, now until Election Day. You can find info online at www.markgerritsen.ca. That's markgerritsen.ca. Or you can call our campaign office at 613-507-MARK, 613-507-6275.
And do you have social media?
Yes, of course. I'm at Mark Gerritsen on every social media platform, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, X. We're on all of them.
And that's a wrap for CFRC's 2025 Kingston and the Islands federal election coverage. We hope you enjoyed our conversations with Mark Gerritsen, incumbent MP for the Liberal Party, alongside Daria Judy Hope, candidate for the NDP, Brian Patterson, candidate for the Conservative Party of Canada, as well as Fintan Hartnett, candidate for the Kingston and Islands Green Party. Learn more about the federal election occurring on April 28th by visiting elections.ca for information on how to register and how to vote, and visit the candidate's campaign office, websites, or social media to stay up to date. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dinah Jansen for CFRC 101.9 FM, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. And thanks, everyone, for tuning into our special broadcast today here on CFRC 101.9 FM, featuring conversations with four of the candidates for federal office running right here in Kingston and the Islands. We are going to have the next half an hour of programming dedicated to all Kingston music, brand new releases that have happened just in the last month or so right here in town. We're going to start things off with a great new single by Chris Giguere called A Simple Life. Enjoy.
All I ever wanted was a simple life, the kind we've forgotten in these modern times. Maybe a cabin on a mountainside. All I ever wanted was a simple life. quiet life. No major eruptions or raging wildfires. Maybe an island on a northern lake. All I ever wanted was a quiet life.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that song by Chris Jaeger. It was called A Simple Life. Coming up now, we've got Jukebox County, new stuff from him called Can You See It? Followed by Abby Louise with Atiari, a lovely collaboration that they released about a month ago or so. It's called Float. So here's Jukebox County right now on CFRC. Can You See It?
Cascading to an underworld we've never seen, with bright eyes searching for something familiar. Take my hand and be brave. There's a bright end to the cave. With open eyes, our mistakes won't seem so tragic. Thank you.
should we spend? There's no age of innocence. Just make your dollars and cents. Wonder where the time went. Safe for letting go.
Welcome back to CFRC. We are still spinning lots of great local tracks recently released right here in town. You just heard Abby Louise with Atiyari, and before that, we also had Jukebox County. Coming up now, we're going to listen to new stuff from Nolan Hubbard featuring Sit Still. The song is called Pollen. And after that, brand new stuff released just in the last couple of weeks from Mishmash. We're going to listen to Funk Meditation. So here we go right now. Nolan Hubbard featuring Sit Still. Enjoy. And we are back on CFRC 101.9 FM and our very, very eclectic mix of great local music recently released right here in town. You just heard Mishmash with Funk Meditation and Nolan Hubbard with Sit Still. That song was called Pollen. We've still got time for a couple more local songs for you. We're going to listen to new stuff from the Killdeers, a song called The Escape, followed by Horse Thief Bay Road by local songstress Megan Hamilton. And then we'll close out the show with a great single by Jessica Wallowicz called This Is It. Thanks for tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Queen's University since 1922. Hit us up and follow us on Instagram at CFRC Music. Don't forget to drop by our website at cfrc.ca to learn more about how you can volunteer, how you can start your own radio show, and also learn about all of the amazing programs across spoken word and music genres. Something for everyone, every single day of the week. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day.
Let's run away. If we are faster than the light, just disappear into the night. Love, I swear, they'll never know we're gone. Thank you. we are faster than the light. Just disappear into the night. Love, I swear, they'll never know we're gone. Let's leave this behind for a time. Go out and find some while to clear our minds. Drive. Thank you.
You are listening to CFRC Radio from Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca.
Cold weather getting you down? Warm up this season with amazing hot food to go at Old Farm Fine Foods. Pizza, frittata, sausage rolls, sandwiches, soups, and more are ready and waiting to get in your belly. Plus, you can also buy fresh and frozen foods to prepare at home and enjoy a huge selection of meats, cheeses, produce, coffee, beverages, and condiments. Pop into the shop Monday through Saturday between 8 and 5 at 204 Berry Street in downtown Kingston. And don't forget to follow Old Farm Fine Foods on Instagram at OldFarmFF to get the scoop on the latest goodies. Old Farm Fine Foods, comfort food you can count on.
Broadcasting 24/7, 365, you're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the best local programming. Skip.